Come be a part of Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics with your host, Dr. Ed Holliday. Hear the voices of liberty speaking all across America. Doc Holliday provides thought-provoking interviews and commentary about the issues and actions that are afflicting this country and what we need to do to get America back on track. Get fired up. Get inspired. Get on board with Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics right now.
Welcome to the first full week of 2013. You've got Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics. I'm your host, Ed Holliday, and you're listening to us on webtalkradio.net. That's webtalkradio.net. We're so glad to have you. And new listeners, listen to Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics. We are so glad that you've heard about us, and we're growing because of people like you, and we got a show. Let me tell you what's going on for everybody to know. We are going to talk about the fiscal cliff. We didn't fall, did we? Or did we? Well, let's talk about the fiscal cliff today. I got some clips that you'll want to hear, and one of them is from President Obama. I also have a clip from the godfather of the Tea Party, the man who started it all, the CNBC business reporter, Rick Santelli. He went on a rant again just recently about the new year and his fiscal cliff, and he summed up a lot of what I'd like to say, and I'm going to play that clip. It's about 3 minutes, so it's a little long, but I want you to hear that, and I got some things to say about it. That's coming up. And then this year's first Tombstone of the Week award will go to none other than our current Speaker of the House, who just got reelected. We understand he'll be the next Speaker of the House also of our new Congress. But I will tell you why he gets this week's first Tombstone of the Week award, the first of this year. So you want to be sure to listen at the end of the show. Without further ado, I want to tell you that I feel like I'm one of the many bulls in a cattle herd, okay? I feel like we're being herded up like cattle. I feel like it's not home on the range, though. I feel like we're being pushed and shoved and just by our government leaders, by our Congress, by our president, by all the bureaucracy. I believe that we are being herded into a slaughterhouse. I don't know how far the journey is going to have to go, and I don't know if we can stop it before we get slaughtered. But I'm telling you, I just feel like we are being herded up like cattle, and the slaughter is going to be somewhere down the road unless some smart thinkers, heroes can break loose from the herd. And that's why I'm glad you're listening to Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics. Let's get this show started off right here. Now, that music from the Magnificent Seven, and do you feel like you're out in the old West now? Well, I just had to tell you, I do feel like I have been herded up in this last couple years through the election, and thought we're going to break out of the herd, and we got President Obama reelected, and no matter how hard you seem to try and scream and holler that this country is going down if we don't cut the spending, and all we get is we just get more government officials and the cheerleading mainstream media that cheerlead the Democrats' big spending programs. And the Republicans, they have the Speaker of the House and who negotiates, and Mitch McConnell, and they get us this fiscal cliff deal, and they feel like they win, and the president's all giddy because he got everything he wanted, it seems like. And I'm telling you, that's what I want to talk about in just a minute. And that, going back to that feeling that I just feel like I'm being herded up. You remember that old Clint Eastwood television series where Clint Eastwood first came into public knowledge. It's called Rawhide. Let me play a clip of Rawhide because I'm telling you, I feel like we are in the Old West and we are not the cowboys. We're not rounding people up. We are the herd. We're being rounded up. And it's very scary to me because they're pushing us on a journey and I don't feel like they understand where this country's going if we don't somehow break out of this herd mentality.
Move 'em on, hit 'em up, hit 'em up. Move 'em on, hit 'em up, raw high. Cut 'em out, ride 'em in, cut 'em out, cut 'em out. Ride 'em in, raw.
Rollin', rollin', rollin'.
That was fun, wasn't it? Do you understand now what I'm trying to tell you? Do you feel like you're being herded like cattle? And I do. When we got the president giddy at his press conference on the day that he was forcing, on January 1st, the first day of the year, the Senate had passed this fiscal cliff bill, and he had the House of Representatives in his hands, and as they were debating if they should pass this bill to stop the fiscal cliff, President Obama was mocking the Republicans and calling them names in a pep rally at the White House as if he had to get reelected. And he was mocking the Republicans as they had to vote on what he wanted all along. It was so sad for statesmen. Where are statespeople, stateswomen, statesmen that we used to have? And in the White House, who the president always says, I'm a president for all the people of both parties. And yet President Obama was just lambasting the Republicans and warning them not to try to come against the debt ceiling. And the Republicans had to eat their what they made. They had to eat their porridge and vote for this deal, even as the president was mocking them. And that's why I said, I feel like I'm in a herd of cattle. And we are being rounded up. And we're going on a journey, just like that Rawhide song. Get them doggies rolling. Well, I'm rolling. I'm rolling down. I don't want to be rolling. But we're rolling along with the herd. And where are the stockades? How far is this journey? Do we have time to stop it? Can we stampede and run over the cowboys? Well, that's what we're talking about today. And one voice that I want you to hear, because it sums up a lot of what I want to say myself, and I want to talk about some of the things that he brings out, is Rick Santelli. And if you don't know, he was the one that went on a rant back in 2009, early after we passed that humongously awful stimulus package that did not work, and we're still paying for it. Billions of dollars every year in interest for something that didn't work. And Rick Santelli came out and said, we need to have another Boston Tea Party. And from there, the Tea Party movement took off. Now, where is the Tea Party movement today? That's a good question, and we'll talk about that some also. But listen to Rick Santelli as he was welcoming in the new year. And they started off with a clip of him using a big old sledgehammer type hammer, just busting up pumpkins and watermelons and saying that's what the Congress needs to do to the debt. And then I have to tell you what's going on because this is radio. But then he got a hammer and a pea, and he put that pea up, a little pea out of a pod, and hit it with a hammer later in his video presentation, and said, that's the kind of cuts the Congress is talking about. Just a little old pea made a little splat when he hit it with a hammer. And he really brings to life what I feel like so many of you are feeling, and I'm feeling. So let's listen to Rick Santelli, then I got something to say about what he's going to say on this clip.
How Congress. It's easier to smash stuff than you think. Smash some deficits. Smash some deficits. Smash some deficits. Smash some deficits.
That was Gallagher, too?
That was Gallagher, one of our more memorable moments with Rick Santelli, who can do incredible things with a very large mallet. Rick, good morning. Happy New Year to you. We're going to do some smashing here if things don't happen in the next few hours.
They are. As a matter of fact, you know, hold on. Got to get some props that you can't see. You know, I think it's almost time for us to do a big whoopee because maybe we are close to a deal. But, you know, after listening to that spot, I think that I'm going to modify whoopee to maybe whoopee, okay? Because I think that we went from smashing pumpkins to potentially smashing a pea, and maybe even the pea is going to be a little bit too big. So we went from Gallagher and that, so... There we go. There's our debt smashing for the end of the year. Okay, it's basically a P. And maybe we don't even get that, because most likely what we are dealing with here, unlike with Gallagher and the watermelons and the big hammer, is pretty much about a tax deal. Okay, we've done all of this to arrive at an arrangement on taxes. You know, I know that the tweet of the day is what words we'd like to banish. I'll tell you one thing I'd like to banish right off the bat. Balance. This is not balance, okay? Because the debt would be the Empire State Building, and this is maybe something we're going to be talking about. It's not balance. And the other thing I'd like to just toss into the wild blue yonder is fairness. Because I'll tell you what, people, anybody reads history, when your leaders start using the word fairness is a really loaded term. Fair to who? I think that's one of the cornerstones of why capitalism and personal liberty has done so much in a couple hundred years in this country, because it empowered people. And we are not empowering people when we have to take what's fair from somebody else's mouth, other than a group dynamic based on the freedom of individuals. All right, let's switch gears a bit. Housing. Just today alone, I counted at least 7 guests that talked about the great positives of housing. And I'm not going to dismiss the idea that housing has improved, but I think we really need a little perspective here. Okay, if we look at how many homes are still underwater, it's a significant amount. About 4 months ago, it was, you know, 1 in 5. I don't know how much that's changed, and if it has, it isn't much. And it's not even the underwater. It's people whose houses aren't underwater that used to be worth $400,000 that are worth $300,000. In Illinois, the prices are significantly lower. This is something that we're going to have to deal with. We are coming off of something that was at a hyper-crisis low, so improvement marks are easy. And the other point today, I've heard a lot as well, and especially over the last couple of weeks. Before November 6th, which was the election, a lot of analysts out there and economists, all according to the administration, they all agreed with everything they said. They talked about how the economy's improving, we're so much better off. Then boom, when you get after the election, you go to the fiscal cliff issues, these same analysts and economists are saying, oh my gosh, you know, the economy is too weak to do any deficit reduction. It can't handle the stress. If you kick the tires, the car's gonna fall down. Do you see what I'm saying? You know, they just shovel it out to us. They just shovel and shovel. Economy is great until the election. And then afterwards, to support the agenda, it's not so great anymore. What's the moral of the story? The moral of the story is that America's a great country, and some people are deemed as extreme. If those fiscal conservatives are extreme, then count me in! Happy New Year to everybody. Back to you.
And the same to you, Rick Santelli.
Now, wasn't that just great from Rick Santelli? And I think he feels like he's been rounded up and put in the herd and being herded in places he does not want to go. He does not want this nation to go. I'm feeling like that. You're feeling like that. And I got something I want to tell you about what he said and some comments. But first, since we are in this theme of the Western movie themes, let's play a little clip from Tombstone with Doc Holliday here.
I didn't think you had it in you.
I'm your huckleberry. Why, Johnny Ringo. You look like somebody just walked over your grave.
Fight's not with you, Holiday.
I beg to differ, sir. We started a game we never got to finish.
And that was the scene when Johnny Ringo, just before he got shot dead by Doc Holliday in the movie Tombstone. And if Rick Santelli would be my Wyatt Earp, I'll be Doc Holliday. And together, we'll work with you. And we're going to get out of this herd that we're being herded down into the slaughterhouse of financial disaster. And that's why I like what Rick Santelli had to say. And let's take a couple of things he said in his rant when he talked about balance. He says, watch out when you say balance. Yes, that is so true. Balance. That's what President Obama says he wants, a balanced approach. And then in the fiscal cliff deal, we got $42 of new taxes for every $1 of spending cuts. Absolutely ridiculous. It is mind-boggling. How are you going to cut a deficit? And the president uses these 10-year numbers that nobody knows what's down the road. Who in the world is going to cut? And we are on the road, flirting with disaster, being herded down the journey toward a stockade. And maybe this is what the president wants. And maybe he's just a true communist. And I don't know, but I don't see how this country is going to thrive or even survive with a continuation of what we just got in the fiscal cliff. But I do want to let you know another word that Rick Santelli had to say. It was fairness. When you start using the word fairness, everybody wants to be fair with everybody getting an equal start. I believe in the civil rights movement, what is good for everybody to be able to get the most out of, they can out of this country. But you cannot tell capitalism that one person should give what they make to another. You can't redistribute wealth. And this is what this president wants. There is a way that capitalism does it. It's not always the fairest thing, but when you start trying to make people fair, it's like making Michael Jordan wear weights because he jumped so high. We need our best players in the ball game. We need our best players making business decisions. And you cannot make business decisions when you put your best players on the sidelines or strap them with weights because you're just too good. You're dunking too much, Michael Jordan. You're shooting too good. Your percentage, you jump too high. It's not fair, Michael Jordan, in the game of basketball. And that's what President Obama and so many of the liberals are saying. It's not fair if you make a lot of money. What they don't recognize is some people might not make $200,000, $250,000, they won't call rich. It may be somebody that's worked every day and every Saturday and a lot of weekends for 10 and 20 years, 25 years. It's not somebody getting out of college and all of a sudden somebody's writing a check for $450,000. You might see a handful of that, but you're not seeing hardly any of that. People are in that $250,000 range, $300,000 range. What they're doing is building on a whole lifetime of work, decades of working on Saturdays and weekends, not taking cruises, not taking vacations, because they want to build a business. They want to build something that that they can profit on as the business gets bigger and older, and it's building relationships, and it takes years and even decades. And then you turn around after somebody's worked their lifetime and say, no, you didn't build that. No, you didn't build that. You don't deserve. This is not fair. You're making this much money, and somebody over here who, well, they didn't want to work on weekends. They stayed out, maybe partied every weekend, watched every ball game. You know, when the ball game came on, had to watch that, had to watch TV. And they weren't building a business. They weren't building relationships. They weren't going to school. They weren't going to seminars. And is that fair? That's capitalism. And it's not all fair. What, if you want fairness, what do you do with Obamacare? With somebody is 75 and they get cancer, do you treat them? What if somebody's 85? Well, that's not fair. He lived to be 85 or she lived to be 92. Won't we just let everybody die at 65, just like in the novel 1984? I believe they had a certain age where everybody knew they would die at 65. That was fair. Is that what we want? Is that what Obamacare is ultimately going to lead to? These are things that people are, you know, you laugh and say that's silly. It's not silly, because I think there's some people really believe in this fairness doctrine so much that they want everybody to die at a certain age. It blows your mind to think what this leadership in this country is leading to. I'm not saying they're going to do that now, but I'm saying it leads to things like this. And so Rick Santelli very well pointed out, when a president or a leader of a country start using fairness, watch out. Capitalism is in danger. And I believe in fairness as far as people getting we want people to get an education and have an equal opportunity to start. But you can't dictate every year's salary, every year what's going on. You can't dictate how people can think. And you hire people to think for you, to make money for you, to work in your business, to help out. And then one day they may want to start their own business. But it's what they learn and how to do with it. And that's capitalism. So those are some things I just had to bring out from Rick Santelli. And I tell you, keeping this Western theme, let me play a little bit from the good, the bad, and the ugly. And then we're going to get the clip from President Obama. We've heard Rick Santelli. I guess we could call that the good. President Obama's going to be the bad. And I tell you, in this clip, Vice President Biden doesn't say anything, but he stands right behind the shoulder of President Obama. So we're going to call Vice President Biden the ugly. So we had the good, the bad, and the ugly. Let's hear a little theme music. And then we're going to get that clip from Barack Obama. And just before you hear that clip, let me remind you that you are listening to Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics. This is the first show of 2013. We are glad to have new listeners. We're glad that you're telling your friends and neighbors as we grow, because this is going to be the station. This is going to be the show where you hear solutions. We have solutions to problems, and we played Rick Santelli, and I'm going to talk about, as soon as we play this clip from the president, I'm going to talk about some solutions, and then we'll get into this week's Tombstone of the Week Award, and so a lot to stay tuned for. Listen up right here on WebTalkRadio.net. That's WebTalkRadio.net. Once again, that's the theme song from The Good, The Bad, and The Ugly. We've heard the good. We're about to hear the bad. And just like I reminded you, the ugly is standing on, well, right behind the right shoulder of President Obama. Let's listen.
Cutting spending has to go hand in hand with further reforms to our tax code so that the wealthiest corporations and individuals can't take advantage of loopholes and deductions that aren't available to most Americans. And we can't keep cutting things like basic research and new technology and still expect to succeed in a 21st century economy. So we're going to have to continue to move forward in deficit reduction, but we have to do it in a balanced way, making sure that we are growing even as we get a handle on our spending. Now, one last point I want to make. While I will negotiate over many things, I will not have another debate with this Congress over whether or not they should pay the bills that they have already racked up through the laws that they passed.
As Ronald Reagan might say, there he goes again, folks, where the press is letting him get away with these things. Did you hear him say, as we deal with this with a balanced approach? Did you not hear me a few minutes ago when I said for every $42 of new taxes, we get $1 of spending cuts? And if we go back to our good friend, you remember Foster Freeze, he told us, take several zeros off that when they talk about getting $645 billion in new revenue or whatever they came up with. Take the zeros off, and then we have like $645 and This basically, let me explain it like this. If we are got a deficit, our deficit now over $1 trillion, you take the zeros off, it's like we got $13,000 deficit. And we just to help get that deficit down, our Congress has just decided to raise taxes for to get us an additional $645. And we decided to cut $16 out of a $13,000 debt. Did you hear that? These are the numbers. If you take all the big zeros off, the trillion zeros that Foster Freeze told us to, look at your household budget. Our deficit would be like $13,000. I'm talking about our nation's deficit. If you took all the zeros off the trillions to make it where it's common sense, we have $13,000 in debt. And what we just did with the fiscal cliff deal, we decided to help knock down that $13,000 debt. We're going to raise taxes to get $645. And we're going to cut spending by $16. Absolutely crazy, folks. Somebody give these numbers. Where is the press? They're cheerleading for Obama. And that's why I said, there we go again. There he goes again, just like Ronald Reagan would say. Our president is in wonder, you know, Never Never Land. He's like Alice in Wonderland. The numbers don't add up, Mr. President. And it's nowhere near a balanced approach. And so what's the solution? Well, let me remind you about one of our sponsors, Freedom Works for America. It's Freedom Works for America is the grassroots strategies that have proven effective all over the country, sometimes under long odds. And the people at Freedom Works, they know where grassroots conservatives are, and they know what they help feel their need to organize and how to train the activists. And believe me, folks, I know, frankly, I don't know when they find time to sleep because I have worked with Freedom Works. They're a great bunch of folks, and we're going to have to look to people like Freedom Works to get this nation turned around. So go to freedomworks.org and find out what you can do to get involved. And so I wanted to lead in with that, with our friends from Freedom Works, to say there are solutions. And this is one thing you need to know when we talk about solutions. We just did the fiscal cliff. It's a done deal. We can't go back. You can cry. You can do everything you want to. It doesn't matter now. It's a done deal, and Wall Street's looking at it, and they gave it their blessing on the second day of January. But this is something you may not realize, and you're hearing it right here on Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics. You need to know this and let your friends know it. We just got over the fiscal cliff. Didn't fall down, huh? Well, let me tell you what's going on. In the next 2 or 3 months, there's going to be some dandy, fireworks going on. Should be. And that's our solution, folks. We got to get involved. We can't, the press and everybody go to sleep. We, you know, say, where's the Tea Party? Well, the remnants of the Tea Party need to join with people who feel like they're being herded into a cattle drive going to the stockades to be slaughtered. That, people, is what we need to realize. We are being slaughtered financially if we continue on this journey of spending and bigger government. And what do we need to do? Well, listen, on February 4th, the deadline for Obama's budget is due. Let's make sure we start talking about it now. We want to see his budget. It's due February 4th. Hold his feet to the fire to see his budget. But by the end of the month of February, we will have reached the deadline for raising the debt ceiling. Coming at the end of February, what's going on? We do not need to raise that debt limit unless we see significant cutting. $16 when you owe $13,000 doesn't mean a flip. So get those figures. Tell your congressman about those figures. Your representatives need to know. They are really nothing but a big joke when it says we're cutting spending. When you owe $13,000 if you're at your home and you cut $16, you know, some people, they look at you like you're crazy if you're going to balance your budget. And that's what we ought to do, looking at the White House and even our Congress. So get your Congress people in this battle. And not only that, listen, what else is coming up? The debt ceiling by the end of February we're going to be at the end there if it's not raised. And then on March 1st, the sequester, they put the sequester of all these automatic cuts off for 2 months. They're due March the 1st. They're going to start happening March the 1st. And you know how long it took to get the fiscal cliff deal. And then on March 27th, the continuing resolution expires. Don't you remember the back in 2011, this battle that nobody wanted to worry about? And we just did a continuing resolution to keep spending at the same level. And we worked it out with the president and the White House. That's what Boehner worked out. Well, the continuing resolution expires March the 27th. These things are coming up, folks, in the next two to three months. And then you go to April 15th, and that's the deadline for the annual budget resolution. We have firepower on our side to stop the spending if we can get the Congress engaged, and it's going to be harder to get the Senate engaged, but we got to start working on it now. That's our first solution, is these, they're going to call them crises, and they're going to call them, oh, we got to do it no matter what, or we're going to get downgraded. Look, we're going to get downgraded no matter what, because look at our spending. We've already been downgraded from AAA, AAA rating to AA. It's going to be downgraded again. They're going to say, oh my goodness, if we start cutting, we're going to get downgraded. Folks, it's going to happen anyway. And we may get a better rating if we cut our spending. Somehow, somebody's got to talk sense. And I go back to that clip I played from Doc Holliday, Johnny Ringo. You know, the senators and the liberals, they think that, you know, they're the fastest gun in the West. Well, Doc Holliday said, I'll be your Huckleberry. And now we're not talking about real guns. Don't anybody get crazy on it. We're just saying we have got to get to work. We have got to get to work. Now's the time. The next 2 or 3 months, the White House and the liberals and everybody in Congress wants to keep spending money. They're just thinking, they'll say, okay, we did the fiscal cliff, forget about it, go home, and let us work things out here. No way, folks. It's time to get involved. Start calling your Congress, whoever represents you in Congress, call them, let them know to stand firm, do not raise the debt limit. And I think that's where we make our stand. It was like when he saw the fiscal cliff, I could see it caving in. The battle was lost there. It's time to back up and find a battle line that we can stand on, and it won't be us alone. We can join together with libertarians, Tea Party folks, conservatives, social conservatives, social moderates, fiscal conservatives. We can all stand on the line to say stop the spending. It's easy to say stop the spending. And that's our solution for this week. And we're going to go right into our Tombstone of the Week award. I told you, it goes to none other than Speaker Boehner. I think he got outplayed in a chess game starting 2 years ago, and he was trying to tread his water just like Mitt Romney did. He said, got election, we don't look like the bad guys. And they got painted in a corner, and John Boehner got painted in the corner. And this fiscal cliff deal was awful when it comes to cutting the spending. And that's why so many Republicans did not support it, and it took the Democrats to get it passed through the House. But John Boehner gets this week's Tombstone of the Week award, the first of 2013. And I want to say this. John Boehner is the Speaker, and I don't agree with what he's done. I think he got painted in a corner. But you know what? Experience really, really can teach a lot. And I think John Boehner can come out of here and be a strong leader, a strong congressman, being Speaker of the People's House. If he'll sit down and read the U.S. Constitution and understand the power he has as the head of the People's House, as elected every 2 years, and start using that for freedom, to get the generations that depend on us, our children and grandchildren, so they won't be crippled in their ability to earn by exorbitant taxes and a dull economy that won't ever get over 2 or 3% at its best because of the weight and the burden of the debt that is growing. And we, you know, when this interest rate starts going up, just it's going to compound the burden. The young people have got to understand their future is tied to cutting the spending. And I'm going to try to make that known. You need to make that known. And that's exactly why we're going to win this thing. I really believe it. We lost the election. We had Mitt Romney and other forces working. I don't know. But I feel optimistic and confident that there are heroes out there waiting to step forward. Now's the time. Fight against raising the debt limit. That's where we make our stand, right here in America. You listen to Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics. I'll be back next week for another great show that we are going to keep pressing on for the solutions right here on Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics. See you next week.
Thanks for joining us today, and remember to listen again next week for another edition of Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics. You can order Ed's new book, Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics, Tea Party versus the Status Quo, by clicking on the book cover right in front of you on the screen. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you again next week.